God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text coming from our epistle reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, with the title, I will admit it's a little intriguing, Happy Suffering. In the midst of suffering, are you ever happy? Well, probably not. If you actually truly enjoy the pain and the suffering, please talk to me and I'll give you a referral to some professional help. But to be honest with you, most of us don't enjoy that pain and suffering. Needless to say, some of you also know I'm a Harry Potter fan, and of course there's a wonderful allusion here to the third movie in which Ron and Harry were in the class called Divination the first day, and they were reading tea leaves. Harry's friend Ron had Harry's cup and was looking into the cup and noticed that there was some sort of cross and identified that with some sort of trials and suffering, and that there was also a sun, which meant happiness. And so his interpretation of the tea leaves, of course, were, so you're going to suffer, but you're going to be happy about it. I don't know about you, I'm never happy when it comes to suffering. Especially whether it be physical pain suffering. That's why I like to avoid wasps and bees, because they sting. The mental and anguish type of suffering, or any other type of suffering, I just like to avoid suffering at all costs. But what happens when problems and sufferings occur? Notice I said when. I am not like some of the other preachers that will say, if you're a Christian, you will never suffer. No, I don't see that, and it's not biblical either. Jesus the Christ says just the opposite. Because of me, you will suffer. You will suffer for the gospel's sake. So what happens when the suffering or the problems come? What's the first thought that enters our mind? To leave? To get away from it? Fair enough, but do we really understand the suffering? Have you ever thought this phrase for a moment? No one can really understand my problems. Do you believe that your problems and your set of circumstances are so unique that no one has even a clue or an inkling what you are going through? You know, sometimes we think this thought. Sometimes we think that it's only happening to me. I'm the only one with this problem. If you've ever thought along those lines, I have some great and wonderful news for you today. Because whatever problem, whatever form of temptation, whatever type of suffering you may be going through now or have in the past or will be coming into, nothing is new. All these problems are common to humanity, and so is the ultimate solution. You see, God promises to help you through these problems. There's a certain passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that usually gets quoted here. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape, so that you may be able to endure it. The problem comes in is our human, sinful and human nature likes to sit there and says, don't worry, God, I can handle my own problems. I'd rather do the suffering. I know that sounds kind of strange. But honestly, look into your lives and think for a moment. When you were suffering the most, who did you reach out to for help? Was your first response to go to your Lord and Savior and say, Lord, have mercy? Or was your first response that says, don't worry, I just have to do a few things here and I'll get it handled? Think for a moment. What would happen if we truly understand and truly believe what I was saying before? No one can really understand my problems. What we're doing here is we're shutting off the whole entire world with some genuine people who want to help out, but more importantly, with the God who says, I do help. With the God who says, I created you. I know the blueprints. I have the initial plan in that mind. The God who says, I know you intimately, I know you inside and out, I know you better than you even know yourself, or what you're willing to even admit of yourself. The God who says, I will take on your burdens. I will die on the cross and suffer the pain and agonies of death and turmoil, all because of your sin and your sinfulness, so that you can be my child. A God who says, I love you and adore you, I will send my Holy Spirit to be that comforter, that guide, that encourager. But yet we want to sit there and say, oh, my problems are unique to me. God, you can't help me here. Pastor, you can't help me here. My Christian friends, you can't help me here. No one can help me because they're just my problems. What are we saying here? Do we truly believe that? Unfortunately, there might be some times where we act that way, where we try to shut everyone else out of our lives, including God, the one who provides hope, the one who provides comfort, the one who's going to take you to be with him in eternal life. We need to cry out to the one who created us, the one who really knows our problems, the only one who can restore us to our original condition, the God as the Bible reveals him, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In our text, St. Paul writes to the Christians in Rome, Chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and notes that, yes, there is going to be suffering. But what are you going to do with this suffering? He begins, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of peace is Paul talking about? He's not talking about for the Christian there's going to be no more pain and suffering, even though some preachers will preach that. No, he's talking about a peace that comes from God, a peace that will help you with the suffering, a peace that will give you comfort. You see, trials and temptations and sufferings will come, but we are not alone unless we choose to be alone. We have a loving, merciful God who says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We have a God willing to give up his entire life, his physical life, to be with you, a God who took on flesh and blood and made his dwelling among us, a God who suffered. How dare we say, no one knows what kind of problem I have. We have the Savior who dies on the cross for the forgiveness of all our sins. What kind of problem could we have? You see, very often if we take a look at our sins, and we take a look at the sufferings and take a look at the things that are causing us turmoil, are they really of God or are they of human origin? And for the Christian, where should our loyalties be? For the Christian, we know that, yes, because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have the gift of eternal life. What more do we want? Well, let my sinful human nature speak for a moment, and I can give that answer. What more do I want? I want a whole bunch of other things. But do I not believe that God provides? See, sometimes our suffering is because we are chasing after things that we weren't meant to have. Or certain events cross our path. And for whatever reason God has allowed these to cross our path, we still realize who's ultimately in control. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So what do we do when persecution, sufferings, trials, temptations cross our path? We go back to our text, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's right, we rejoice. We know that, yes, heaven is the gift that God has given to us, the forgiveness of sins, that special relationship we now have with God. Our text continues, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Where does our hope come from? It doesn't come from some self-help book. Our hope comes from God. A few weeks ago, I used the analogy sort of God using a pitcher of water and pouring out his grace upon us. Here in our text, we have that same concept of God pouring out his love, His grace into our hearts. No decision theology here. By God's grace, He is pouring out His love into our hearts. And His hope does not disappoint. So when trials and persecutions and sufferings come, what do? We go to our Lord and say, Lord, I need more of Your love. I need more of Your forgiveness. I need more of Your strength. I need You to be more generous because my sinful human nature is getting the edge here. And it's distracting me from Your glory, from Your providence, from Your protection. You see, if our spirit was strong with God's spirit, if we are truly following what God has to say, the Christian really should have no worries. The problem comes in is that our human nature is pretty strong. And we do have concerns. We do have worries. Can we not just put our lives in God's hands and saying, God, take care of me. God, show me the path that You want me to take. Lead me by Your word. Or do we have to do things ourselves because no one knows the problems, no one knows the troubles I've seen? You see, when we start reiterating words like that, we start closing down other resources for help. Our help, our hope comes from the Lord. What resources does our Lord provide for us? Not only does He give us His life-giving word, His word made flesh and made His dwelling among us, He gives us His word in print through the Bible. He even connects Himself through that word with the bread and the wine, the Lord's Supper, again for our strength, to remind us of the forgiveness of sins, to remind us on how generously He is pouring out His grace upon us. But as human beings, we like that personal touch. And so God has also called us to gather around that word on a regular basis with other Christians so that we could have those personal relationships. God's got it all figured out, and He is providing for us. He is trying to encourage us in the faith. But when we put out our hand and saying, stop, you don't know what kind of problem I have. I can only solve it. What we're really doing is setting ourselves up for failure. And so we go back to our text. Not that we enjoy pain and suffering, but we do know that the pain and the suffering will help us refocus. You see, whenever that pain and suffering comes, we have to ask ourselves, what's going on in our lives? Is it my attachment to some sort of sin? Is it my attachment to the things of this world? That I'm allowing the pain and suffering because it's being removed from me to sort of get in the way? What is at the root of this pain and suffering whenever it occurs in our lives? And we have to ask the next question. Lord, how are You going to strengthen me? You see, that's more of the important question that our text is getting at. Because notice this whole leading here where Paul says that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Notice that in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our growing, we are leading, Paul is leading the Christians somewhere, not within themselves, but to the Christ, where our hope is ultimately based. So we need to teach. We need to proclaim this message, not just in the pulpit, but in our everyday lives, we need to teach others and even teach ourselves. And this is one of the reasons why we also have a Christian education program. Even very early on, we can teach these little ones to put their faith and hope and trust in God. We try to teach them that, yes, God is loving. We try to teach them that, yes, Jesus is the Savior. We try to teach them even the simple song that, yes, Jesus loves me. You see, sometimes even that simple song is the message we need to hear, especially when our heart is filled with a lot of pain. When we keep shutting other people and God out of our lives, we need to hear just that simple message. Yes, God does love you. He wants to strengthen you in this relationship. And sometimes He allows us to be under this pain, be under this suffering, so that He can teach us to rely upon Him a little bit more. I will admit, being a parent sometimes can be a little challenging. Sometimes when they are real little and they like to wander away, they need to hear a lesson. The lesson is, don't wander away from mommy and daddy. How is this lesson taught? Well, one of the ways we taught it was when the little one was wandering away, we would duck behind a corner. Wait until the little one turned around, realize mom and dad isn't there, wait until the little one panic, and then say, here I am. Why? We need to develop that trust relationship with the little one and the parent. It is not good for the little ones to wander away on their own. So also with us little ones as Christians. God sometimes allows the suffering to occur not to punish us, but to draw us back to Him so that we understand the true relationship as He, as our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sanctifier, that He is our God and we are His people. And sometimes this only occurs through suffering. So when suffering does occur, and it is a when, not an if, let us hang on to Paul's words here in chapter 5. We ask the Lord to draw us closer to Him. Yes, we may be hurt. We may get bruised. But we do realize that God is ultimately has saved us and will draw us to be with Him in heaven above. He won't take that promise away from us. So we ask the Lord that when the suffering comes, that He uses that suffering to draw us into a closer relationship with Him. And if we see our brother and sister in pain and suffering, we should also ask our Lord to give us an opportunity to reach out to them with the same love that He reaches out to us, and to extend that Christian arm, that Christian hand of friendship, especially to those in need. Because He first extended that arm, that hand, to us. So we come before the Lord, seeking His strength, seeking His mercy, asking the Lord to fill us with His Holy Spirit. Because yes, we are weak. Yes, we need to be strengthened by Him. And yes, we are actually suffering a little each and every day. Until that final day that we are with Him in heaven above, when there will be no more pain and no more suffering. Until that time, we ask the Lord to keep us close to Him and help draw our attention to Him and Him alone. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.